say I'm going to be your chair, and I hope you'll bear with my barking zeal and my sickness. We're going to take a couple of things. I don't see Senator Brown here, so we'll do Senate Bill 419. That is a work session. We'll put a work session on Senate Bill 419. Mr. Dodd.
Senate Bill 419 prohibits accessing dry cleaning environmental response account fund until determination the dry cleaner insurer has fulfilled payment obligation. Delays a 25% increase. However, the amendments, the Dash 7 amendments that the committee members should have with them, changes that effect.
Okay. Is there anyone who wants to speak to these Dash 7 amendments? No. It's my understanding. You'd like to?
If
you could just come and explain the Dash 7 amendments for us and make sure we're all on the same page.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dick Peterson. I'm the administrator of the Land Quality Division for the Department of Environmental Quality. And thank you for allowing me to come and explain the Dash 7 amendments for Senate Bill 419. And we're here to, DQ's here to support those amendments. I just want to say these final amendments were reached after some hard work by Senator Harper, his staff, dry cleaners, and DEQ, and we certainly want to thank all those folks for working towards this end, and certainly thanks to Legislative Council, who spent a lot of time writing amendments to this bill. Generally, here's what the bill does with these final amendments, or Dash 7 amendments. What it says is if there's insurance available at the site, the insurance will pay for environmental cleanup, not the dry cleaner account that fees are paid into. There is a new fee structure that was created by these Dash 7 amendments, and it's basically three parts. One is there's still an environmental fee for solvent, dry cleaner solvent usage. Dry cleaner solvents are those solvents that can get into the environment and cause environmental damage that leads to cleanup costs. So there is a fee on both past usage and continuing usage of environmental solvents. Also, what was added into the bill is that there's an incentive to dry cleaners who go out and do an assessment at their property to determine whether that property is contaminated or not. That incentive would be in the waiver of a one-year fee that is for the dry cleaner solvent use. So it provides an opportunity for dry cleaners to go out and do some assessment at their property. Also, the fee structure provides a 1% gross revenue fee on dry cleaner services. This is specific to just the services of dry cleaning. Some dry cleaning stores certainly offer a lot of other services, including laundry and that sort of thing, but this is just a fee on dry cleaner services. We estimate that this fee structure will generate about $1 million a year, around $1 million a year, which always has been a target of the bill. And because of that, and because of our confidence in that, the automatic fee increase in the existing law is dropped. Also, part of the bill, it shifts a fee collection for the dry cleaner fee from the Department of Revenue to DEQ. We feel that consolidating all of the efforts in one agency will save costs, especially in fee collection. This bill also repeals the sunset on the law that currently exists in law, so that is going to be repealed. And also directs an advisory committee to work with DEQ on cutting implementation costs and trying to define how big of an environmental cleanup problem we have, and the advisory committee is very, very much directed to do that. There's no fiscal to the bill for DEQ. Our current limitation staff are adequate to handle the work in this bill. And again, DEQ is pleased with the final amendments and do support them. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
So, Mr. Peterson, you feel that DEQ is not being hamstrung by capping your fees, that you're able to do what you need to do to this work?
Yes, Madam Chair. We believe that DEQ is not hamstrung. In fact, it'll allow us to get moving forward and working on the program rather than work for 2 years in the interim trying to figure out what a fee structure would be. We feel that this does generate the fees that are necessary and we can get on with environmental cleanup.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee?
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Byers.
Did I hear you correctly say you're going to put a 1% fee on dry cleaning?
Madam Chair, Senator Byer, yes, there's going to be a 1% fee on the gross revenue of dry cleaner services in the bill. That's something that was discussed with the dry cleaner industry, Senator Harper and DEQ.
Is this eliminating the fee on the chemical then?
There's the whole fee structure is changing a bit, and it's the three part that I was talking about. We have the gross revenue fee. There's a fee on a $500 fee per year on dry cleaners that used dry cleaner solvents prior to, I think the date is 1998. There's a $500 fee on dry cleaners who use solvent, dry cleaning solvent, during an annual fee period, and then there's a per gallon dollar fee on the use of perchloroethylene, which is a dry cleaner solvent, and also other $2 fee on other dry cleaning solvents that aren't perchloroethylene. So it's a multiple fee structure, both environmental fee and then gross revenue fee.
Did I hear someone say correct that Senator Harper's okay with this?
You want to answer that? I believe that was his testimony, and I see his staff is here. What if, yes.
Michael. Madam Chair, if I can.
Just get your name there. Just a minute.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jeffrey Wimmer, staff for Senator Harper. We worked on this bill directly and are in strong support of the Dash 7 amendments.
Does that answer your question, Senator?
Yeah,
question. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. We have Dash 7 amendments. Do I hear a motion? Actually, no, we have a work session. You're coaching. Okay, we're already in a work session. We didn't close it. So you move the Dash. Senator Byer moves the Dash 7 amendments to Senate Bill 419. Any comments or objections? Okay. Dash 7 amendments to Senate Bill 419 are approved. I'll hear another motion.
Move the bill to the floor as amended.
Do
pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Senator
Byer moves Senate Bill 419 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? I'd just like to thank all the parties for working this out. It was controversial when we started, and a joyful ending, so I appreciate that. No other comments? Would you call the roll, please?
Senator Byer?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. Senate Bill 419, as amended, having received the constitutional majority, is passed. Who would like to be the carrier?
Maybe Senator Harper, since this is good.
Ah, very good suggestion. Senator Harper will carry that bill. You would let him know, Mr. Wimmer? All right. I wanted to let those who are here for Senate Bill 757 and Senate Bill 831 know that we are not going to be hearing those bills today. Those are going to be held over until Friday while some amendments are being drafted. So the next bill that we are going to hear is we'll open a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 609, Senator Kate Brown. And
thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, State Senator Kate Brown, I've invited Scott Shore up to provide you with detailed testimony. This bill, Senate Bill 609, you heard on April 7th, 2003. Both the Department of Justice and the Department of Treasury testified in support of portions of the bill. There were objections to other portions of the bill. It is my understanding that Roger Martin with Investment Company Institute has worked with the proponents of the bill to resolve Mr. Martin's concerns, and that Mr. Floyd Lander's concerns, the Department of Finance and Corporate Securities, have also been addressed through amendments. I'll let Mr. Shore tell you about those amendments. Obviously, Senator Nelson is not here. I know that some of the committee members have expressed concerns about the bill. At this point in time, we have no known objection to the bill, and we would ask that you bring this to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. It's my understanding that Mr. Shore has spoken with Senator Nelson. This has been scheduled for public hearing and possible work session, so we'd ask it to move forward to a work session so you could do that. So thank you, Madam Vice Chair. It's good to see you, even if you sound so horrible.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Mr. Shore, would you identify yourself, please?
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you regarding Senate Bill 609. As this committee might recall,
Mr. Shore, state your name.
I'm sorry, Scott Shore, for the record. From Portland, Oregon, and law firm Stoll. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify. I last testified before this committee on April 7th in support of this bill. At that hearing, the Department of Justice and the Department of Treasury testified in support of the portions of the bill that would enhance the ability of state pension plans and Oregon state funds to recover money that's been lost due to corporate fraud. At the last public hearing, Roger Martin testified on behalf of the Investment Company Institute that the ICI objected to the deletion of the words "other than a federally covered security" from ORS 59.115-1A and 59.127-1A. The Legislative Council's amendments specifically address that objection by restoring the phrase "other than a federally covered security" back into the statute, so there's no change on that. But they preserve the liability provisions of the statute with respect to both federally covered and non-federally covered securities. We spoke with Roger Martin and his client, the Investment Company Institute, and this change addresses that objection, and they have no objection to the present bill. You may also recall at the last public hearing, Floyd Lantner of the Department of Finance and Corporate Securities also testified to a number of minor technical problems that the Department of Finance and Corporate Securities were concerned might affect their enforcement authority and the statute in general. We've also addressed those objections with some cleanup amendments that are reflected in the Legislative Council's amendments. And my understanding is that the Department of Finance and Corporate Securities also has no objections to the bill. So we're aware of no objections. The Legislative Council's amendments since the last time I spoke with you have addressed everything. If anyone on the committee has any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
Great, thank you. Does anyone on the committee have any questions? Mr. Shore, the Dash 3 amendments then are reflective of all the changes that you've made?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any questions?
No.
Okay. All right, thank you. I don't see anyone else signed up to testify.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 609 and put up a work session on Senate Bill 609. We have Dash 3 amendments. Do I hear a motion?
I'll so move the Dash 3 amendments.
Thank you. Senator Metzger moves the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 609. Any discussion? Hearing none. Will you call the roll, please?
Senator Fire?
This on the amendments, right?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Yes. Okay. Thank you. The Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 609 having been passed. I'll hear another motion.
Move Senate Bill 609 to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Metzger makes a motion to move Senate Bill 609 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay, thank you. Let's call the roll, please.
Senator Carter?
Aye.
Senator Westbrook?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Malcolm? Aye. Senate Bill 609, having received the constitutional majority as amended, will pass to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Senator Brown, would she like to carry that bill? You're welcome. All right. Can you keep these, Dennis? Okay, that one. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 604. Mr. Dodson.
Senate Bill 604 defines motor vehicle for purposes of franchise law, reduces time for franchisor to initiate audit of franchisee claims as far as franchisor repair or replace certain motor vehicles the customer refuses to accept, increases the dollar threshold for dealer to disclose repaired damage to customer. There are dash one and dash three amendments.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Darrell Fuller for the Oregon Auto Dealers Association. Thank you for hearing this bill. I've got some comments that are being passed around. Would make one correction. The date on what you're getting is April 23rd, which is when I thought this was originally going to be heard. It was held over until today to make sure that everybody signed off on the dash three amendments. We recommend that you adopt the dash one and the dash three amendments, which make the bill agreeable to all of the stakeholders. It makes some minor modifications to the franchise law, which is a law that governs the relationship between automakers and auto dealers in the state of Oregon. We make a change to the definition of auto dealer, definition of motor vehicle. We make a slight modification in when a manufacturer can audit a dealership for warranty incentive programs. And we change a financial figure from $400 to $500 when a vehicle must damage to a new vehicle must be disclosed. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions by members of the committee? Mr. Campbell, did you want to make a comment?
Yes, Madam Chair, representing General Motors and the Association of Automobile Automobile Manufacturers, the amendments dash one and dash three correct the objectionable portions, and we do agree with the bill as it would be corrected with those two amendments.
And you are Mr. Larry Campbell.
I apologize for that. I'm just learning the process.
Okay. Committee, any questions? These fine gentlemen?
No.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Do I hear a motion?
We need, Madam Chair, both the dash one and dash three.
Yes, that's my understanding.
Then, Madam Chair, I would move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 604.
Senator Metzger has moved the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 604. Any questions? Okay. Any objection? No. Then do we have to go through the roll?
No.
Okay.
Bang the hammer.
Hammer it is. The dash one, Senate Bill 604 has been approved. I'll hear another motion.
Senator, Madam Chairman, I move the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 604.
Senator Metzger moves the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 604. Any discussion? Any objection? The dash 3 minutes to Senate Bill 604 have been approved.
And Senator Walker, I move Senate Bill 604 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Metzger has moved Senate Bill 604 as recently amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. Senate Bill 604, having received the constitutional majority, is passed and sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And who would like to carry that fine piece of legislation?
You will.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fuller and Mr. Campbell.
Mr. Larry Campbell.
Mr. Larry Campbell. All right. Let's do a hearing on public hearing on House Bill 2908. Mr. Dodson?
House Bill 2908 clarifies that advertisements regarding insurance policy in languages other than English may not be construed to modify the policy. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact, no amendments.
All right. We need a sign up sheet.
7.7 not given there also.
Right. 7.7.831. Thank you. Mr. Powell, waiting in the wings.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Powell, before you representing State Farm Insurance Companies. House Bill 2908 that is before you is legislation designed to increase the purchase of advertising by insurance companies from foreign language media sources, such as newspapers, radio stations, and television. Existing law in Oregon allows companies to advertise in a language other than English without being required to have a policy in those foreign languages. This bill simply states that in the case of a dispute, that it is clear that English would be the language that the dispute would be tried under. An insurance policy is different than almost any other product that's advertised. Each word has meaning, most of which have been litigated and have meaning beyond even the dictionary description. So it is important that this be the policy. We want to encourage, and State Farm is one of the largest purchasers of foreign language advertising in the country, and we want to continue to promote this practice. This is the law in several other states, including California. This legislation is supported by Hispanic groups such as MANA and National Latino Organization, and we just urge a yes vote.
Thank you. Somebody have any questions in this panel?
I do just have one.
Great.
Just out of curiosity, usually we do things because we've had an issue. I thought I just would be curious as to the issue that maybe has been identified for which we need clarification.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzger, in this case there is no issue in Oregon. And the company has, as they have begun to purchase more and more of this type of advertising, has been working with groups along the way to try to get this the law in all of the states. So we have no case in front of the appellate courts or otherwise on this matter.
Madam Chair, but there's been issues in other states at some point.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzger, not necessarily directly related to insurance, but there can be an issue in this area, and I think there have been lawsuits about advertising in the past.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay,
thank you.
We will close the public hearing on House Bill 2908. If there are no other folks signed up to testify, we'll move into a work session on House Bill 2908. Any motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2908 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Byer moves House Bill 2908 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? All right. Thank you. The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Byer?
Aye.
Aye.
Vice Chair Walker? Aye. Excuse. He's been excused for all of these votes. I think he knew that, but. House Bill 2908, having received the constitutional majority necessary to pass to the floor of the Senate, will move with a due pass recommendation. And Senator Byer, would you like to carry that?
Certainly.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to move to public hearing on House Bill 2925. Mr. Dodson?
House Bill 2925 allows insurer to sign statement electing lower limits for uninsured motorist coverage within 60 days of making an election. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact, no amendments.
Mr. Barnes, are you signed up to testify?
I am.
You are. Would you come forward, please?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jack Barnes representing Farmers Insurance. I'm here today in support of House Bill 2925. The purpose of this bill is to allow insurers to 60 days to obtain the signature from an insured on an uninsured waiver, uninsured motorist waiver. Basically, what the issue is that whenever anybody increases their policy beyond the minimum limits, or when they're purchasing a new policy, if they buy limits higher than the minimum limits, normally, the uninsured motorist limits would also be increased to that level. The statute, however, allows customers to retain lower uninsured motorist limits if they choose to. If they do make that decision, however, at the point of that decision, they're supposed to sign an uninsured motorist waiver. The problem for an insurance company is that on occasion people are actually not in the agent's office to sign that waiver. You're doing so by phone or whatever, and as a result of that, the insurance company is out of compliance compliance with the statute. What this bill does is just allows the insurance company 60 days to obtain that signature. And that concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Jack, what happens if within the 60-day period you don't obtain the signature? Then what? How does the insurance company react then at that point?
If there is no signature, then the customer receives the higher limits. Okay. And that's the way it is now, and that would stay the same. So.
Any other questions? Mr. Price, you and I spoke earlier, and I thought, well, I think 60 days is way too long for this, but you're at risk. So I guess if you want to let people have 60 days to make this decision, I'm with you on it, but I think people should be able to make that decision sooner than 60 days.
Yeah, and it's, actually they would be, at the point that they make the decision, you know, they're supposed to sign, so it would be 60 days beyond that. But and what we would be doing would be trying to obtain that signature within that period of time, but that just allows 60 days to do so.
But Senator Metzger's question, he pointed out that you're on the hook if you don't get it.
That's right.
All right. Any other questions? Okay, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2925 and open the work session on House Bill 2925. Right here, a motion.
So moved, Madam Chair. We forward the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Beyer moves House Bill 2925 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any conversation about that? Any objections? Can you clerk call the roll, please?
Senator Beyer?
Aye.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Walker? Aye. Excused. House Bill 2925, having the Chief Constitutional Majority, will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I guess I'll carry that one today. All right. Anything else on our agenda is to do a tap-tap public hearing on 2624, so I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2624.
Well, we've got a lot of time we can talk about.
And let anyone listening on the internet or in the room.
Anybody's in the room can testify.
No, that on Wednesday we will be holding a public hearing, and it's my understanding the chair, when he returns, intends to hear 1 hour of testimony for proponents and 1 hour of testimony for the opponents. It will be a full day, and this committee then will meet again on Friday to tidy up some of its outstanding bills. So with that, committee?
Yeah. We don't money.
We'll close the meeting.
Well done. Well done. Well done.